You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Do MSP roll-ups actually work? I know some of you may be crashing mentally at hearing me say that, say, what the hell is the world coming to? Did Charles actually say that roll-ups could work? I'm not saying roll-ups work yet. But I feel like some recent information, some data that we've been tracking for a while gives new light to this topic, and I think it's worth talking about again. And I know we've talked about M&A a lot over the years. More than a decade we've been talking about M&A. It's factored quite heavily into the MSP sector for a long time. But throughout that period, I've also been very vocal about this concept of a roll-up. And we'll talk about what a roll-up means, how I define it, how the market maybe defines it. And you know, it's been very sketchy, to say the least, about the data. The data has not supported the idea that roll-ups work. And I think that may still be true, but a roll-up under certain conditions could work. Begs the question, is it really defined as a roll-up? That's what we're going to talk about. It's important because there's a lot of money still floating around out there in the managed services world that demands that we address this topic. And if it could be helpful to MSP operators and owners, if it could be helpful for investors, then that's good. So let's just dive right in. And I will admit that my own M&A experience factors heavily into this, as well as my 23 years of tracking the MSP sector, including a lot of the M&A deals. I have a vantage point that is maybe a little bit different, which is I see the M&A deals not from the press release or the story that's written about it in the channel tech blogs. I have it typically from the owner, the executive who used to work there, who used to own that company, and now they don't. And they give me a very different perspective of that deal, why they did it, what they got out of it. Not monetarily, you know, were they happy, but what were they asked to do? Did they stay along after the deal closed? Did the buyers remain faithful to their commitment in the deal? Those types of things. Were they happy? Not at the point of closing. Everybody's happy at the point of closing. Typically because you just like to have the deal done with at that point. Everyone's tired of it. They just want to get it over with. But are they happy 6 months, 12 months down the road? Are they happy 5 years after? Were they happy they sold their MSP to that company specifically? Right? Those are the things that nobody ever writes about. Those are the things that never get a press release. Would the owner have done the deal again a year or two afterwards, knowing what they know now? Would they do it again, right? That's a really different type of metric of success than just simply did the deal get executed. So I am fully aware that there are a lot of private equity groups out there circling the managed services professional community, looking for deals. The same economic environment, climate, whatever you want to call it, still exists that make the MSP market still today, even in 2023, a highly lucrative place to be. It's the needle's edge, the knife's edge of the tech cybersecurity world, and it's a good place to be. from an operator standpoint, and it's a great place to be from an investor standpoint. And so that's why we have so much focus on the roll-up. And again, it's not new, right? Historically, we've had roll-ups for many, many years. But we're going to talk about you know, what my definition of a roll-up is. We're going to talk about historical roll-up strategies that have been attempted, and whether or not they're successful, right? Not whether they actually acquired the target companies, but whether or not it was successful as a business, right? Because that is the ultimate question. Not did you get to the finish line, but did the entity that you acquired survive that process? That is the ultimate test of M&A success in my book. And then we're going to talk about the modern day, today's version of the roll-up, because I think that data that I have alluded to may seem to indicate that we have to modify in some way the roll-up. Either we have to stop including as a roll-up these types of deals that we're seeing now, or maybe we have to change the definition of roll-up to include something else. But all of this will make sense. We'll make it nice and easy for you guys and hopefully spark some ideas. So let's dive right in. Number one, what the heck is a roll-up? Some of you might be eating a fruit roll-up saying, well, I know what a fruit roll-up is. No, it's not a fruit roll-up. A roll-up is, in very simplistic terms, a concept of acquiring in a relative short period of time a number of companies in order to rapidly achieve a growth or size outcome. That growth or size outcome could have many different metrics, right? It could be a revenue marker. I want to reach $10 million. So I want to buy up a whole bunch of $1 million MSP shops. Let's say I'm starting with $1 million, and I have my next door neighbor is a private equity person, and he sits on, you know, $100 million of private equity capital that he's burning a hole in his pocket. He needs to get invested, you know, out of the sidelines onto the playing field. It needs to get invested. So the neighbor over, you know, a couple drinks and dinner and says, hey, you know, MSP owner, I'd love to turn you into a platform. I'd love to use you as the base of operations to go out and do a roll-up. What do you say? And so the two start talking, and then it becomes, all right, well, let's go out and get 9 other companies, then roll them up into one, and then we'll have a $10 million company. That's a roll-up strategy, a revenue-based roll-up strategy. Fairly typical. Again, I'm simplifying things, but that's what a roll-up is. It could be a size thing, right? It could not just be a revenue size. It could be, hey, we want to get from, you know, from 10 people, we want to be at 150 people in multiple states. Maybe it's a geographic marker that they want to hit. Typically, it's a size thing. Typically, it's a revenue goal that is the predominant target for a roll-up strategy. All right, people generally don't target headcount. They typically, well, sometimes this is included, but they typically don't even look at geography. They look at revenue. And that's how I would define a roll-up. I think that's how most M&A people would define a roll-up. That's probably how most investors would define a roll-up. What are some historical examples of a roll-up? Well, I'm reluctant to use names. Yeah, I'm just not going to use names. I'm going to use real world examples. All right, trust me on this. These are real companies, but I'm not going to use names because I don't think that's important. Just trust me on this. You can Google it out there, and you could, you know, find out for yourself, you know, which companies these are. But in the mid 2000s, there was a couple of companies that attempted traditional, you know, kind of classical roll-up strategies, which I would define as they were out there attempting to buy $1.5, $2, $3 million companies in the hopes of gaining a certain revenue level and then achieving a sale. They had investors. The investors wanted to see growth. They wanted to see a return on their investment, and that was the way that they were going to get it. And so the orders were set and the acquisitions began. And it was over a several year period where this company was just buying companies. Now, in my opinion, based on firsthand knowledge and communications with this company, they were indiscriminate about their target MSP. In fact, by then standards and certainly by today's standards, probably a good bulk of them weren't even real MSPs. They were probably at least, you know, good part MSP at best, and a good measure of break fix and VAR and whatever else that they were doing. But, you know, they weren't like dominant 100% pure play MSPs by far. But this company did this across like 30 something states. And they probably did dozens and dozens and dozens of deals. And by my understanding of the company when it sold, the math did not add up. In part because, not because they were buying so many, but because it lacked a strategy. It lacked any cohesive nature. All of the companies cobbled together didn't add up on the ledger to what the accountants thought it would. Meaning it wasn't as simple as just a mathematical equation to be solved. Buy 10 companies at $1 million a piece equals $10 million company. Wrong. It doesn't work that way. You're not factoring in attrition of staff. You're not factoring in attrition of customers who leave because of a variety of things, namely lack of service delivery continuity, right? You chiefly had in this particular real world example, as in others, you had an acquisition strategy that was largely turned over to a team tasked with going out and finding businesses willing to sell with relatively little thought about, hey, what RMM do you use? What types of contracts do you have with your customers? How are you delivering your managed services? Are you actually really delivering managed services? Are you just doing break fix? You know, that alone, you know, the idea that a good bulk of these customers, a good bulk of these MSPs that were acquired and their customers were actually break fix. And when you integrate break fix companies with the thought that, we're just gonna convert for every MSP we buy, you know, 50% of those break fix companies, remember this is mid-2000s, we're gonna convert them to managed services. Easier said than done, especially back then. Not all of them made the transition. At best, maybe you had 10, 20%. The rest either were forced to stay on some sort of break fix reactive service delivery, or they walked, depending on how the conversion was executed. You see what I'm saying? That's a big gamble when you multiply that times dozens of deals across multiple states and probably the tens and tens of millions of dollars invested here. They probably had a good amount of bleed off, attrition of customers, attrition of revenue, and attrition of people, right? So the lack of strategy other than just hitting a revenue goal, the indiscriminate nature of the acquisition targeting methodology used was a very common feature of the quote-unquote MSP roll-up. It's why I have been fairly pessimistic about it. It's not because it hasn't worked. It's because it never has worked. There's no evidence of it having worked. Therefore, why try it using the same methodology. Well, maybe things have changed. Maybe people started to pay attention to what we've been saying, and maybe people started to alter their M&A strategy. And that's where we get to the current data. Over the last couple of years, and again, this is a real world scenario. This is a real company. I'm not going to give you their name. You could probably figure it out for yourself. It'd probably leak out there, you know, anyway, but not by me. But we've been tracking a company, an MSP, a real MSP, who has financial backers, who started to buy companies that had MSP Verify certification, which is, I'm telling you that because that's how we became aware of them, right? Because they're in the certification system. So they tell us, hey, we just got bought by this company. Oh, hey, congratulations. That's awesome. Then the next one says, hey, we got bought by this company. Oh, yeah, we know them. They just bought this other company. Hey, we just bought another company. Third, fourth, right? Like at least three fairly significant companies all acquired, all had MSP Verify. And this company, the single buyer, is at the heart of all of them. So we start to pay attention. What the heck's going on? Is this another roll-up strategy? Well, and these were not, by the way, these were not financially troubled companies. The roll-up strategy of the mid-2000s that I just referred to largely were seeking distressed companies. How do I know this? That's what the buyer said. Hey, Charles, if you know of any distressed MSPs that really want to sell and get out of this, let me know. We never did that, but you know that's what you know. We get that type of thing all the time. Hey, do you know somebody? Do you know so and so? Right? People always want access and communication and referrals and connections and all that. That's part of what we've always dealt with. But that's what they were looking for. They admitted it. We're looking for distressed companies. Well, the companies in the last 3 or 4 years that were bought have not been distressed. Far from it. They've been cutting edge in their class. They have not been all the same size. They've been in different states. They've been in different sectors. They've been different service delivery models. Very different. So I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, is this a roll-up strategy? And I'm thinking, okay, other than the fact that it's happening with the same platform buyer, no, it's not really a roll-up. It's something different. Or maybe it's a roll-up as it should have been applied, which is well thought out, well constructed, intelligently constructed. And by the way, I referenced the MSP Verify element because we had access to those sellers and the owners of those companies and the executives of those companies. And so we understand firsthand from their own mouth why they did the deal and what the deal was supposed to achieve. And it's not a revenue goal. It's a, we fit into this larger company because we have this thing that they didn't have. And we complement what they bring, and they have stuff that we don't have. And that is a really refreshing thing to hear. By the way, something that every M&A deal, roll up or no, ought to have. And they had them. Every single company we talked to, yeah, this one company is going out and buying these MSP verified MSPs, and they're looking at them as really strategic acquisitions. One gets them access to a service delivery product they don't have. Another company gets them access to a set of customers and a service delivery suite to that specific customer vertical that the buying company did not have, right? That's what's going on. That is, whether you call it a modern roll-up, that's how a roll-up should be. It's how a traditional M&A transaction should be. And The owners are largely staying put. They're staying involved because they're needed. They're not just being bled off with, you know, the top 50% or, you know, 25% of the organization being, redundant, you know, therefore they're let go. I'm sure that may be happening with some of the, you know, the equity people at the top if they're non-operational. But the point is that these are really well thought out acquisitions. And the owners of the sellers, and I've actually talked to the purchasing company, and they seem like they have a really good head on their shoulders, and they know what they're doing, and they know what they don't have, they know what they need to have, and everything about that screams not roll up, which gets us to, you know, kind of an unofficial part of this. This discussion here, which is, do we need to transition from the term roll up into a new term that is something else? I don't know. That's quite frankly, I think no. I think I've answered my own question. I don't think we need to alter the definition of roll up, because roll up still means, in my opinion, indiscriminate bulking up through acquisition to achieve a revenue goal. What I've just described, this is not a roll-up. It's something else. It's something else. It may have similar features or characteristics to a roll-up. And that's where I don't want you guys to be confused, because those of you who are investors out there, and I know there's a lot of you listen to this podcast, who think, wow, he's validating everything we thought. Let's go out and let's allocate $50 million to the MSP market in 2023. I'm not saying not to do that. What I'm saying is don't do it with an indiscriminate roll-up strategy in mind, because I still have no reason to believe, and there's no data to support the idea that that will be successful. What I am saying is if you take this modern-day approach of being ultra-selective, really picking the best, and picking the best based off of gaps in your own organizational structure. So growth isn't the preeminent goal. I understand that you have to live in the real world. I get it that you have to have a return on your investment for your investors. What I'm saying is that will come. But by going about it this way of saying, hey, we don't have this element over here, that element, acquiring this element will unlock this revenue potential in all of our other existing install base. Let's go buy that. Done. Hey, let's go buy this company over here because they have access to customers we don't have. And we want to get into that vertical because that's a really exciting new vertical for the next 5 years. Let's go buy that. Done. That is logical. That makes sense. And it will produce a return on the investment. Believe me, it will. But it's not a roll-up. It's not a roll-up. It is something else. It is an M&A strategy. It's an MSP M&A strategy. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just reluctant to call it roll-up because I'm fearful that it will reignite this old idea that has been tried many times over and has never worked out the way they thought it would. That's my real concern about using the term roll-up. Do I like that this is happening? Absolutely. I think it provides liquidity events for companies, owners, operators who have been in this for a long time, and they want a retirement strategy. They want a path out where they could take some chips off the table. They can have a shot at retirement where their hard work has paid off. And let's face it, that's the vast majority of MSPs all around the world are good, hardworking, small businesses, medium-sized businesses that are not public. They're never going to be public, but they nevertheless still need an option for transition, retirement, ownership transition, liquidity events, whatever you want to call it. And that's nice to see. And it's nice to see where they have a little bit of control, more than a little bit of control, in making sure that their new partnership works. They're fully invested in it, and their customers are going to be taken care of. Their employees are going to be taken care of. Because I know that that's very important to. I don't meet an MSP business owner who doesn't care deeply about their employees or their customers. Is it a roll up? I don't know. I don't think so. It's something else. We're going to have to come up with a new name for this. You guys have a name for this? Send me an email, send me a comment. And but I don't think roll up is accurate to what this is. But it seems to be working. And this one company that I'm referring to, that this is a real company, as I said, they're not alone. And now I don't have access to the same type of data. Like, I don't have access to a bulk group of MSP verified companies who have all been purchased by one company and having consistent, unbeknownst to everybody else, they're telling us the same things. And it's good. It's good to hear this. It's validating that the market is, I'm not even going to say consolidating, because that's not what this is. This is not a consolidation move. This is a strategic growth acquisition strategy being played out, I think, relatively well. And it's nice to see for a change. So if you are in the market this year to sell or to buy, I hope that this would be of some value to you as you begin to strategize what you're going to do, right? If you're a buyer, this is a darn good roadmap to creating a strategy that can work rather than just mindless, indiscriminate acquisition for the sake of bulk. If you're a seller, these are things that maybe you ought to talk to a buyer and say, what is your intent? Are we going to become just a bulk roll-up? If so, you know, I would say that the odds of success might be less so than if you use this more recent example, the non-roll-up example of acquisition, which I think has a much higher likelihood of success in the long term. Again, my definition being success after closing, when you start to integrate, when you start to actually achieve the assimilation of the organizations in question. I personally hope we see a lot more of these deals, because this is really rewarding to see people who have worked hard on their business. They've got customers, they've got employees who also worked hard. It's nice to see this. So, for my part, let's keep it going.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.